Okay, this is Proverbs 20. We're going to be studying, and we'll open in a word of prayer, John. Okay, let me start here. Father, again, we thank you that we can come together to look into your word. We ask your blessing on our time together here, and open our eyes to see those truths that you would have us to understand. Give us a heart that's willing to practice what we learn here. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. You want to start the reading, John?
Yes. Okay. Give me 1 minute, please. Guys, is it okay if I turn the AC on real quick?
Okay, sure.
I'm a little hot.
I'm going to pause while you do that.
No. I did it right now. I'm good.
Oh, okay.
20. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler. And whoever is led astray by it is not wise. The wrath of a king is like the roaring of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life. It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. A king who sits on the throne of judgment scatters all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Diverse weights and diverse measures, they are both alike an abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with bread. It is good for nothing, cries the buyer. But when he has gone his way, then he boasts. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take the garment of one who is surety for a stranger, and hold it as a pledge when it is for a seductress. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth will be filled with gravel. Plans are established by counsel, but wise counsel wage war. Oh, by wise counsel wage war. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. Do not say, I will recompense evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. Diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord, and dishonest scales are not good. A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? It is a snare for a man to devote rashly something as holy, and afterward to reconsider his vows. A wise king sifts out the wicked and brings the threshing wheel over them. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and by loving kindness he upholds his throne. The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. Blows that hurt cleanse away evil, as do stripes the inner depths of the heart.
If we can go over some of this.
Yeah, there was a couple there that I wanted to comment on. I thought I liked verse 7 where it says, the righteous man walks in his... No, 6, I'm sorry. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? I think that's interesting because if you ask the average person, everybody always says that. You know, you always get on the news, you know, it's like... Oh, he was a good person. It's like everybody always is so quick to proclaim their own goodness.
Well, that's somebody proclaiming somebody else's goodness, isn't it? When you
Oh,
say,
that's true.
yeah. But I
Hold his
think,
own.
yeah, that we do tend to think that we have a pretty inflated idea of our own worth sometimes. I think that's what's being brought out here.
Yeah. What else did I want to comment on? Was it? Oh, and then verse 9, it's a similar thing. It says, who can say I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin. So
That one caught my attention too, because it reminded me of what's said in First John when it says,
anyone who says that he is without sin,
without sin, he
yeah.
deceives himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good
I
one.
liked 14 too. It reminds me of there's so many instances of that where it says it is good for nothing, cries the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasts.
Yeah.
So in other words, you can go to a car dealership and then you can say, oh, this car is not that good, it's got too many miles, or like if it's a used car, you can really focus on all of the things that are negative so as to get it for cheaper. But as soon as you drive it home to your friends, you're like, oh, this is great mileage, great year. It's like, and it's so true. It depends on what side you're on.
Yeah, true.
Verse 21 was problematic for me,
Really.
where it says, an inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. I have a problem with that. I'll
I
just put
think it, by inheritance, it doesn't mean something that you inherit from your parents as much as the word we might use today is an estate. In other words, the accumulation of wealth that you intend to pass on as an inheritance.
okay.
So what it's saying, if you're hastily gathering or trying to gather this estate or build your estate in haste, it's not going to come to good because it's for a number of reasons. It doesn't give the reasons, but one, it's like the person who I think who tries to get make up for his poverty by taking or getting involved with some kind of get rich quick scheme. It
Okay, but I
usually
want to, are you saying
backfires on it.
that this means gained means acquired?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was interpreting it as being like a bequeathment.
Yeah, I know you were. And that's why I think you're having the problem, but I don't know that that's what it means.
Okay, it means to the acquiring of that.
Yeah.
I see.
You gain it by acquiring it. Yeah. Through whatever means you're using. But if they're not solid and just means, I think both aspects are implied here. Solid in the sense that they're based on something gained in return for something given, which is the whole principle of justice, as opposed to trying to get something without giving anything in return, or very little, where there's deception involved, or some kind of scheme to dis you know, all these get rich quick schemes involve some kind of deception.
Right.
And the deception extends even to the person that they're trying to get to invest in the scheme. So it's not
Yeah.
just the people they're trying to get the money from. So on the outside. So I think it's just a warning to make sure that you're pursuing the acquisition of wealth in
I
an
think that
honest way.
that's wise because then the intended or the expected inheritance will be gone.
Yeah, soon as.
I get it. Huh. Anything else?
Yeah,
Anything special?
I was impressed by the opening. Wine is a scoffer, strong drink, a roister. He who is muddled by them will not grow wise. Because I was reading in Leviticus 10 this week. And that is the story. I just want to go back to it in a minute. About Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu. And it says in verse 1, now Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, each took his fire pan, put fire in it, and laid incense on it. And they offered before the Lord alien fire, which he had not enjoined upon them. In other words, they were performing a sacrifice that wasn't part of the ritual that God had given to Moses to follow. Why did they do that?
I think, well, yes, continue. I don't want to.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can answer it if you want to. It's fine. I don't know that it says specifically, but right after this story, and they take, they take the bodies out, and Moses tells Aaron and his Aaron's son, remaining sons not to mourn even because this was the punishment of God. But after that, the Lord spoke to Aaron saying, this is the Lord speaking to Aaron directly, drink no wine or other intoxicant, you or your sons, when you enter the tent of meeting, that you may not die. This is a law for all time throughout the ages, for you must distinguish between the sacred and the profane, and between the unclean and the clean, and you must teach the Israelites all the laws which the Lord has imparted to them through Moses. What I think is implied here is that Nadab and Abihu were drinking, and that emboldened them to say, oh, let's go offer a sacrifice, and without doing
very, it. Very, very good observation.
In a way that was according to the law that God had given. And then God gives Aaron this warning, don't enter into the sanctuary if you're drunk, because you're going to do things that are not right. You're not going to be able to make the proper distinctions between the holy and the unholy, or what should be done and what shouldn't be done. I thought that was a good lesson.
I think that's really good. Yeah, absolutely.
Because we're in a position where we do represent the Lord in a lot of ways. And I think we should, that's why I think the New Testament says, be not drunk with wine, wherein his excess would be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
So yeah. That's what I want to say on that.
Anything else from?
Let's see if there was anything else that stood out. We were reading this before we go on. So we talked about, yeah, that who can say I've cleansed my heart from sin. We talked about the inheritance being.
Hold on a second, Dad.
Sure.
I have to have a conversation here.
No problem.
Never mind. Dad, I didn't know if anybody else wanted to read.
I don't know the whole chapter.
But
okay.
Anyway, let's continue.
I'm just looking this over. I should have looked it over while you were there talking. I like this other passage here that I thought there was about. There were two passages about the king. One in verse 8, the king seated on the throne of judgment can winnow out all evil by his glance. And then it says, a wise king winnows out the wicked and turns the wheel upon them. That's verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just shows the importance of whoever is in charge of administering God's authority on earth to be diligent in judging that which is evil.
I completely agree. That's something that Carmen and I and Cammy talk about all the time.
Really? How
there's these heinous crimes and there's no justice for it.
Yeah.
So that verse can be read in the opposite or the negative.
Mm-hmm.
If a wise king sifts out the wicked, one who doesn't take care of the wicked is therefore foolish.
Yeah, really. Yeah, because he's destroying his people.
I mean, there's no justice for victims of crimes.
Okay, 21. You read that one? Nobody else wanted to read. That's what you were trying to figure out, right? Before? Okay, I will read 21. Like channeled water is the mind of the king in the Lord's hand. He directs it to whatever he wishes. And that's sort of related to, this discussion on the king too. Because what's implied here is that God is directing, whether the king's aware of it or not, what goes through his mind and what he does. It's in the Lord's hand, not his hand. And I think it's a sometimes for good and sometimes for evil, what we see
I
in the
like
Bible.
what my commentary says on that verse. It says a person can look at a river and think that it's following a random pattern, but the water is following the direction of God's hand. So is the king. The world's apparent chaos is God's work.
And what makes it seem so chaotic is when we lose sight of the fact that there is a God who's directing all things.
Yeah.
I think it's good to keep that in mind. All the ways of a man seem right to him, but the Lord probes the mind. To do what is right and just is more desired by the Lord than sacrifice. That's an interesting verse. I think that's similar to what Samuel told Saul after he disobeyed the command and said, "Well, look at all these the sacrifice that I performed." And Samuel said, "To obey is better than sacrifice." I think also what's implied here is sometime. Let's see, where's that again? I'm going to read that again. To do what is right and just is more desired by the Lord than sacrifice. One of the things that always I think we have to watch out, and similar to what David said, I think this is implied in when David would say, "I don't want to offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing." Because it's not the sacrifice that's ultimately as important as what's in your heart. So, this is why I think it's so wrong for people. They want to do charity with other people's money, particularly in the realm of politics. And bills are put on the agenda. Oh, this is going to help the poor, or this is going to help do this or that. But you're not paying for it, somebody's paying for it.
Right. All of those
So
problems
it's
you're talking
all
about, now, it's
good,
like,
but if
well,
it's,
we're not gonna, we need to help the homeless. It's like, if that was really in your heart, you would be helping the homeless already.
then go help the homeless. Yeah. But
You don't need a
it's,
proposition to go help the homeless.
no. Now, and I'm not saying that there's never a place where a community of people can agree and say, we've got this problem. We need to jointly do something to remedy it. That's not wrong. But it has to be done with that heart and mind, with that mindset. We are all going to contribute to address this problem. Not, well, I'm for it as long as other people are going to pay the bill. And I think that's the subtlety of a lot of these measures, because the assumption is I'm either going to pay a disproportionately small portion of what this is going to cost, and somebody else is going to pay the bulk of it.
Yeah,
It's only going to cost me.
I
That's
think
how
I
the
mentioned
whole
that
logic
before.
behind the sales tax. It's only going to, it's not, and this is how our sales tax got to be so enormous, because when they first put these taxes on the bill, it's only a half a penny on every dollar you spend. And with that, we can do A, B, or C, or D. And then next year, it's another half penny. And it's that mindset, well, I'm not going to be spending that much, and we're going to have this enormous benefit.
Yeah.
But I think that's a real trap. You should look at these things as I'm in favor of this, and I'm willing to
I
pay for it.
think that that's 100% right. We have all of these laws and propositions, and so that we can all look altruistic And really, though, it's like they're just extracting all that money from the taxpayers so that they can so do good.
Yeah,
It's really problematic. And I think I mentioned this
case in point,
before.
John, is the one is this bill that's on the
Prop 27.
26 and 27.
Right. It's a bunch of.
And who supports both of them? The gambling institutions.
Right. Which is what I was saying.
And
Right.
the only contra and how do they sell to the public?
Help
What
the
we're
poor.
going to do with all the money?
Right.
All this money that's going to be raised, the tax on all this money that's going to be raised through
Right.
gambling is going to use to solve homelessness or whatever.
Exactly.
And
And
the
all of the liberals will be deceived by that.
yeah.
But you're right. So the Indian casinos are saying, if you stop this from happening, then all the money that we make, we'll turn it back to help the homeless fund. Don't you want to help the homeless? And for the ignorant, that's good enough for them. They
And the
can't.
sides that are fighting against it, one wants 26 and one wants 27. It's not that they'll give the reasons they give for why the other side is wrong is based on how much good their bill is going to do, let's say for the homeless, as opposed, and then the other side will. But this, if you vote for our version, it's going to help the poorer tribes, you know. So it's one group of
Right.
disadvantaged in opposition, but the real
That's another
motive
good
is
point.
we want the money.
Right. We want to be able to make the money and control it. Right.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a lie. It's like all of a sudden, how many decades have we had a homeless problem here in California? Now all of a sudden they're going to take a vested interest in it.
But
Well, we knew it all along.
the worst part of it is who's actually funding it? It's the poor suckers who are addicted to gambling. They're the ones who are going to pay the price. Now, I
Right.
know a lot of people have no sympathy for them,
No,
but I
but
do
I know
because
what you're saying. And then they'll say like, "Oh, online gambling will lead to addiction and homelessness." It's like, okay, and how difficult is it for me to drive an hour down to Temecula? And it's like, you're not concerned about me potentially losing my home, but now if I can do it on my tablet, now you're concerned about it.
yeah,
It's
well.
stupid. It's
I
like,
know we're
well, if
getting
you're
off.
concerned about it, why don't you close your casinos? It's
Yeah.
hard for me to believe the sincerity of what you're saying. It's like,
Yeah.
we don't want you gambling online. That you could become addicted to gambling. Well, what if I go to your casino and gamble? Oh, well, that's okay.
Yeah. You're supporting
You can't have, it's like, what if I smoke a cigar in my backyard? It's like, that's dangerous. What if I go to your cigar lounge? Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. Anyway, enough on that. If I had to go off on a rant.
Yeah. Okay, verse four.
So,
This is why we need to read the chapter, I think, in its entirety.
I know. I just,
Although it's harder to do that, I know.
it's
It's
when something just comes out and strikes you and you want, then,
Well, that's okay. We'll do it that way. Maybe that's better.
no, we'll do it both ways. Let's see, where are we anyway now?
Four.
Four, see, that's the problem. Haughty looks, a proud heart, the tillage of the wicked is sinful. I don't know what that means, except maybe that the tillage of the wicked, that is sinful, is or
I was thinking about
is
this.
comprised of a haughty look and a proud heart, or
I
that's the
was thinking
basis.
about, well, what I think this means is what I was thinking about earlier. I was thinking about this the other day.
Yeah.
All sin is connected. And I know I've mentioned this before, and
Yeah.
I know you think I'm being
No, go say it again.
hyperbolic or something like that.
No,
But
no.
when someone allows their dog to defecate in your yard, and someone goes into a school and shoots up a school, to me, it's the same thing. And all because all sin is connected. And I think that that's what this means is that whether it's a haughty look, a proud heart, and the pillaging of the wicked are sin. It's like they're all, it's all, but because it all comes from the same wicked, I guess there are different degrees of sin, but all sin is connected.
Yeah, and certainly pride is, as has often been commented on, is like as
I
a
mean,
root is a root of most
so for
sins.
example, let's say the plowing of the wicked could be Russia invading Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say, oh, that's sinful, that's wicked, that's evil. But they're not concerned necessarily about the haughty looks that they do or the fact that they have a very prideful heart. And what I think Scripture is saying is that they're all just as evil. Do you agree with that?
I don't know because it's bordering. You see, the problem with equating shooting a school up and somebody's dog defecating on your lawn is that it sort of makes light of serious evil. You know, it sort of.
God, I'd said there are different
I
degrees,
know, but I know
but
you've
not
said it,
all
but I'm
sins
saying when you
connected.
make
Sin
those
is sin.
equations, it gives the opposite impression. And so you're asking me if Russia invading the Ukraine is as just as is no more serious than having a proud look.
Yeah.
I'd like to know, it may